This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. Unfortunately for you, you're listening to the Special Edition iFanboy podcast on Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
An old cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw plowing through the ragged sky. And up a cloudy draw, still on fire and their hooves were made of steel.
Hello, welcome to a Special Edition iFanboy podcast. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
What am I doing here?
No one else, because we could get no one else to brave the theater with us to go see Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. And normally we talk about comics, but we like to talk about comic book movies, and we start off the year officially with Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, the sequel to the original Ghost Rider movie, which was, I don't even remember what year that was.
2007.
Jeez.
I believe, yeah, because we saw it in Brooklyn, so yeah.
Four years ago. Now, Ghost Rider has a subtitle, Spirit of Vengeance, but I have two suggested subtitles, Ron, for you.
Okay.
I feel like you might have some of your own. The first is Ghost Rider, : he's really not in the movie all that much. And the second one is Ghost Rider, : welcome to Lens Flare 3D.
My subtitles would be Ghost Rider with 50% less crank. I find it ironic that this is we kick off the 2012 movie season, which has all the makings of being one of the best movie years in the past 10 years. With yeah. You know, with Avengers, new Spider-Man. Batman, Spider-Man, Hobbit that later in December. I mean, like, there's a whole bunch of great movies coming out, and this flaming piece of starts the year off. I find it ironic. We gotta go through the bad before we get the good, I guess.
Yeah, we're gonna have to earn it, apparently. Yeah. This was what was interesting to me as I was thinking as I was watching the movie, because there was a lot of time to think.
Yes.
Was that the first movie was like a genuine attempt to be like a legitimate big budget Hollywood action superhero movie, and it failed miserably. This one, I felt like they said, fuck it, we're going B movie route.
But they didn't go far enough. No, I figured it out, actually. It was funny. Okay, to give a little background. So this is the second movie, starring Nicolas Cage and no one else.
I told you there's 10 people in this movie.
Yeah, there's 10 people and no one. The only person you might recognize is the henchman villain who was in Empire Records in 1995.
That was him.
Yeah, right?
Where I'd seen him before.
Yeah. So they're literally on Idris Elba, who we'll get to. Yeah. So literally no one you'll recognize in this movie. It took place in Eastern Europe, and I remember leading into it going, why does it take place in Eastern Europe? It was directed by the two guys who did Crank and Crank 2, the Jason Statham movie, which I love, which is kinetic video game energy, and they're great movies and blah. So I was actually excited for this. The trailer was a lot of fun. It showed the Ghost Rider taking a leak, which is funny. You got a lot of press on that. But then as I'm going to the theater, I'm like, why is this in Eastern Europe? And then I'm watching the opening credits, and I don't recognize a single production company,
yeah,
except for Marvel. And one of the production companies had Abu Dhabi in it. And I realized, oh, this is all Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
This is Middle East, and this is why they filmed it in Turkey and India. Yep. And this is totally the first example I can remember of a not, I'm sure there are other exists and stuff like that, but a Marvel or a comic book character that's completely, the rights are tied up with Sony and whatever, and they said, fuck America, we're going to go over here, and this is going to do great over in Eastern Europe and in the Middle East and stuff like that, because it's got hey, American Nick Cage, and it's, you
know. The thing is, everyone makes fun of Nick Cage, and rightfully so, especially for this movie, but he is still a huge international draw, which is why he does 3 or 4 movies a year, and everyone wonders why people keep casting him, because his movies make a ton of profit in international markets, especially Asia and the Middle East.
The weirdo assassin movie. He's done like 7 weirdo assassin movies, but the one, that really weird one where it was like, what? Like, they do great overseas, and that this movie was not for us.
No, it was funded by an Abu Dhabi company, and they probably, you know, and then it'll do well over there. It wasn't even, they didn't even tell you where in Eastern Europe it was.
No, just Eastern Europe. And then they did specify Turkey when they went to Turkey, but so now going back to the Crank guys, and the reason why my subtitle is, you know, 50% less Crank, I can't believe I'm going to say this, the first movie was better. And the reason why I say that is because this whole movie feels like they never took a risk or pushed hard enough.
Yeah. Well, as I say, they didn't go far enough, and they didn't really embrace the schlock of doing a true B movie. I thought story wise, until the very end, when the devil kidnaps the son, and we'll get to the plot in a second, which there really isn't much plot to go through. But until the very end, when the devil takes the boy and they go to save him, there really wasn't much of a linear story to follow, and I actually got into that because it was a rescue mission. That's all, you know, you don't need to know much, and that was kind of fun. But other than that, it was like the first half or three quarters of the movie are just like they're just going from scene to scene with nothing holding it together.
Incomprehensible, and like leaps of logic and like not even video game logic, but just like random stuff popping up and disappearing and people appearing and disappearing, and it was just all over the map. It was just like no explanation as to why Nicolas Cage was in Eastern Europe. They, you know, like, no, you know, he's trying to get away from the, you know, from the Ghost Rider and all that stuff like that. They did do interesting animation cutscenes in the beginning and in the middle. But again, if you're going to do that, fine, go for it. And there should have been at least one or two more. Like everything fell a little short. It was startling.
So the plot of this movie, such as it is that the devil sired a son with a woman who was a gypsy, but the son was American.
Yeah, that was the woman Nadia, who has an Eastern European accent, but the son completely American accent.
he sired a son with the woman, and there's a prophecy that the devil will take the body of the son over and be able to then use his powers on Earth, which he can't really do. His powers are greatly diminished when he's in human form. Yep. So then this shadowy religious organization you never learn anything about gets the Ghost Rider to help them save the boy and not let the devil, you know, become, you know, earthbound. And that's the basic, that's the story.
That's it. And so what's the only there are two shining good aspects of this movie is, first off, in the beginning, the boy is being held, the boy and the gypsy woman, who also has a knowledge of automatic rifles, because she used to work with a gun runner. Anyway,
her boyfriend is a gun runner.
Yeah, exactly. They're being held in a monastery / fortress in Eastern Europe, and the monk that we meet is Giles from Buffy.
Yeah, Anthony Stewart Head.
I was like, hey, Giles! So that was cool.
But then he dies immediately.
Yeah, he dies immediately. Cool. And the best actor in the entire movie dies in the first 5 minutes. Not the best actor, but one of the best actors. But probably the other shining moment was that the random character they created for Idris Elba, who is a French drunk priest who rides a motorcycle and shoots guns.
Yeah.
Kind of awesome.
He was kind of awesome, although he had a horrible French accent. But
but it was great though. It made me want a Phantom X movie.
He was actually a fun character because he stumbled around drunk and all. He just wanted to wine, and he smoked cigarettes, and he had machine guns, and he rode motorcycles.
He was awesome. In another monastery as fortress, he had a big room of guns. It's always good to have a big room of guns.
Then there's the other random
Christopher Lambert shows up at the end for no reason.
No reason.
Character that does nothing. He dies too right away. It's just kind of like
startling.
I feel like there's some producer somewhere had a. I love Christopher Lambert.
Yeah, put him in.
Put him in my movie.
Yeah,
pay him a lot of money to do my movie.
And so Idris Elba, this character. Well, I forgot his name. I forgot the character's name. But
bro.
Yeah. And so he's the one who's trying to protect the boy, and he somehow knows Ghost Riders in Europe. Don't ask me how.
And
somehow he knows where he is, and he finds him, and he then kind of recruits Nicolas Cage, saying, "I can get the spirit out of you." We did get a little harkening back to the comic book, and where they explain that the spirit of vengeance is Zarathos, which is a fallen angel. So that was all true to the comics. That was cool. And then of course, then the Nicolas Cage gets. They don't show it, but he gets the spirit purged from him. And then a big part of it is that they try to save the boy, and the boy puts the spirit of vengeance back in him. And then he embraces the angel side of the spirit of vengeance and becomes Blue Flame at the very end.
They've changed Ghost Rider at the end. So if they have a third one, then he will be the spirit of justice, not the spirit of vengeance.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage was crazy in this movie.
No, but not in a good way.
No, that's what I mean. I give him the benefit of the doubt, because there was a period of time where he did a lot of good movies, or at least entertaining movies. So everyone always rips on Nicolas Cage, but I like him. I still think of Raising Arizona.
I still think of Con Air
and The Rock. Yeah. And he had a string of entertaining films. So whenever I see a Nicolas Cage movie, I try to go in open-minded. But in the beginning, he starts off okay, and then he gets progressively like more insane as the movie goes along.
It was not in a good way.
Not in a good way.
I liked how he played Johnny Blaze in the first one, where he was the stunt motorcyclist and stuff like that, and he had he ate the jelly beans. Remember, like, he had quirky. Yeah. It was great. Nicolas Cage, like, I'm going to make this character my own. He delivered bad, cheesy one-liners. For some reason, he played it like the Joker.
Yeah.
When he wasn't Ghost Rider, when he was trying to hold back the Ghost Rider from coming out, he would like do the maniacal laugh and all that. I sat there. I feel embarrassed for him. I was like, oh god. But they took the guy from Empire Records, and they made him. Is he supposed to be Blackout? Is that the character from the comics that they picked up? Blackout or Whiteout or something? There's some character that he's carrying into, and they did a cool black and white kind of video game esque sequence when he would fight people. But again, it wasn't enough. Like, it was like, oh, that's cool, and then it would be over. And then you just get random shit that happens left and right. So the boy gets kidnapped, and so they say, okay, I know where he is. And then next thing you know, the boy's tied up, and there's his mother. She broke in and is untying him. Well, how did they get in? And then there's a car chase scene where Ghost Rider jumps on a truck and turns it into a flaming truck, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And then the Blackout guy, him and Ghost Rider fight, and they land on a hood of a car, and the flaming truck just disappears. The fight finishes. Ghost Rider gets back in the motorcycle and goes. It's just like, it was so weird. It was just like,
and it was like he would kill people with his chain, which if you got hit with it, you'd burst into flames.
Yeah.
But then why didn't he just use it?
Right.
He shows up and the first time you see Ghost Rider, he's saving the boy and the girl from her ex-boyfriend's army of thugs, and he takes out three or four guys with his chain, and then the rest of them shoot him.
And then
why didn't you just whip them with your chain? They're all right in front of you.
He literally grabs one and stares at him for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I know they were trying to do the pen and stare, but they didn't have any visual effect for the pen and stare.
No, they did.
So it was like, oh. But he did use, and when he got his powers back at the end, he did use the chain as like an AOE. Like the area of effect, like he whooped it around and killed all those people in the temple thing. So that was cool. But and even the music was like cheesy rock kind of indie kind of thing. Like they should have gone like Jonah Hex with Mastodon. Like it's in Eastern Europe. Go death metal. Go heavier. Go embrace the biker side of things. But the music was innocuous. The story was non-existent. The effects were innocuous. I mean, like there were some cool sequences, like when he made the crane, when he flamed up the crane. That was cool.
I mean, there was a couple good scenes that I enjoyed. I genuinely enjoyed the whole last part where they saved the boy. But, like, other than that, I just feel like it was a movie that was not finished.
Yeah, yeah.
It felt like a movie that was not fully formed when they started. This felt like a movie they didn't have a script for.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just made up as they went along.
Yeah.
Unlike 18, where they did that, and actually they got a coherent movie out of it. This was like, we don't have a script. We don't have a story. Yeah. Let's just shoot some stuff we think is cool. And then Nicolas Cage will act weird. And that was what happened. I don't know.
It was just weird. I mean, I think the first one is better. I almost say Jonah Hex was better.
Only
because here's the reason why is because this movie was so I don't want to say it was so bad, but it lacked anything interesting to that I can make fun of.
That's
whereas,
true.
Whereas Jonah Hex, oh, I can go for an hour on Jonah Hex. The boat with the Super Mario Brothers cannon. Right. And the, like, I can make fun of Jonah Hex for hours. The same reason why Green Lantern was bad, because there was no, it looked like everyone was bored on the screen. It didn't. There's nothing here to grab onto. It just kind of was. Yeah, exactly. Which is the worst kind of comic book movie you can have, because what you want with a comic book movie, there are two directions you want to go in, where it's so much fun and so much, you know, true to the nature, and you know, Thor, Captain America, X-Men First Class, like those kind of like the good ones. And then there's the camp where they're so bad they're fun. They're incredibly bad that you have fun making fun of them, stuff like that. But then there's this dead zone in the middle with this movie and Fantastic Four and Green Lantern where it's just like, I saw it.
Yeah. When the credits – and also this movie abruptly ends.
Yeah, and by the way, didn't the credits look temporary?
Yes. Everything about this movie felt temporary, but the movie abruptly ends. It just like ends on Ghost Rider saying, "Hell yeah," and it ends.
Nicolas Cage saying, "Hell yeah," which is, oh God. And so the kid's name was Danny. Is he supposed to be Danny Ketch?
That threw me off the whole time too, because I was like, are they going to reveal he's Danny Ketch? But I guess not, because I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
It's not good. It's not. It almost, you know, after understanding the Abu Dhabi, the Middle Eastern connection, it almost feels like a licensed movie that got made somewhere else, and we bought like a bootleg. And we're like, oh, look what they did with the Ghost Rider, but it's released at our theaters. Don't ask me how Sony can be excited by this.
It did feel like a movie you'd get at a bootleg at a con, like the old Fantastic Four movie or Captain America, like that. Yeah,
Nicolas Cage made a Ghost Rider movie. You got to see this. Like, that's
it's only 95 minutes.
Oh yeah, it was just.
It felt like it.
It was.
I was wishing I could check my watch at one point, like, well, how much longer do I have to sit through this?
It was the worst kind of comic movie that there can be, in that it was just completely uninspired and just completely,
There was a couple of parts where you see, like, the really kinetic way they would shoot the Ghost Rider driving his motorcycle was. The motorcycle looked good.
Yeah.
The worst part was you'd see glimpses of stuff like that where you'd be like, wow, this could have been a really fun movie if they had gone full out, but they didn't.
Yeah, exactly. I saw it in 3D. It was fine. It didn't get in the way. It didn't make it better. It was just, you know, I mean, that's what it was. You know, I thought some of the action sequences were good. I read an article in Wired about how they shot it, and they, you know, they had the dude with the red camera on rollerblades behind the motorcycle, and you could,
Cool.
Yeah. So some of the car chase scene was really good, I thought. I just hate the skull. I just don't like the way Ghost Rider looks. I don't like they overplay up the smoke and the ash and stuff like that, which I get is realistic, but it's just, I don't know. I would play it more fantasy.
He kept getting his head blown out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how does that work? Does he, like, a pilot light that has to turn back on and the flame comes back on? I don't understand. Like, it just didn't make any sense. And it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun in that way. It was just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
So,
a sputtering start to the movie season. This might be our shortest movie podcast ever.
There's just nothing to talk about. There's literally, it was whispering and shouting.
Idris Elba. Who knew?
He was the best part of it.
He was the best part.
You take him out of that movie, it's dead. I might have hung myself.
Yep. It's no good. No good at all. Oh, well. All right. Well, let's hope that the next comic book movie is better than this. I don't even know what it is. Is it Spider-Man?
Probably.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up while we discuss this.
It's funny because – and the five other people in the theater weren't that thrilled about it either. But it just felt – this one felt like a missed opportunity a lot more than others, because I feel like the guys behind it are inventive enough filmmakers that they could have done something interesting with it.
Right.
And I don't know if that's
because – That's the thing. That's why I felt like it wasn't true. The Crank guys are better than this.
Yeah.
Crank I really like, but yeah, it's not –
Also, Nicolas Cage needs to invest in a better hairpiece.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's getting old.
He is getting old. There was one point where he vaulted over something, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That looks like it hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not making fun of him, because we're not that far off, but.
Right.
You know, I'm not an action star either.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's really rough. I think the next one is Spider-Man.
And when is that?
May.
Oh, so we have to go. Wow, that's a while.
Yeah, we got a long run between. Man, where's Watchmen 2 when you need it?
Where's the year 2008 when there was one every month?
Yeah, I know exactly. I'm sure
or multiple ones.
I'm sure people will correct us in the comments here if we have this wrong. If there is a movie coming up before Spider-Man, but as far as I can tell, it's Spider-Man is the next one. Yeah.
Well, I'm actually looking forward to that one. They that was amongst the 15 trailers that we showed before this movie. So that was
Yeah, no, I got to see it. I'm really excited about that. Actually, we were talking about it before because we were arguing because some of the folks I saw the movie aren't very excited about it. And oh no, wait, is Avengers come out first? I think no, yeah, no, I'm sorry, I screwed it up. It's Avengers in May, so Spider-Man's July.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah. So it's Avengers in May, then Men in Black 3 in May, which is based on a comic book. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man in July, Dark Knight Rises in July. Judge Dredd in September, and then The Hobbit in December. So, yeah.
Well, I think once we got past this, I think most of those, I think Men in Black even looks fun, but
yeah, well, I think we started on, but anyway, it's a little long in the tooth, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is a bit.
So, all right, so go to iFanboy.com where you can check out all the other great discussions about comic books and comic book movies and trailer analysis and things like that. And you can catch our weekly audio podcast, the Pick of the Week podcast, where we talk about the week's comics, and iFanboy Don't Miss on Mondays where we talk about comics that are coming out. And so I guess we won't do another movie one until May. Oh, well.
When is Superman coming out?
2013.
Oh, they pushed that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yep. So.
All right.
Oh, well. All right, so until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
We're sorry.
We're still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yo.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.